friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
On Afternoon Drive, the quarterback Deadpool coming up in 1 hour's time. Cash Lovett coming up in 1 hour's time as well. Nick and JP back with you. And obviously today, we got into the conversation about the Greg Newsome trade. What does it all mean? Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys today. And again, we've talked. Is it tanking? Is it rebuilding? Are they trying to win? We've gone through several of the different definitions. Here's how Mary Kay put it on with the Morning Boys today.
They're balancing short-term versus long-term right now, and those goals do change if it becomes apparent that you're out of the playoff hunt. But right now, the AFC North is so weird that you can't say that you're completely out of it yet. And I know it's a long shot for the Browns to get back in it. I know it doesn't seem even remotely possible, but you never really know. You have to let this thing play out. So I don't think they're jettisoning players just for the sake of it. I think when you look at the Greg Newsome trade, they feel like they got a player of comparable value in terms of on the field skill set, and they are saving money over the next 3 years on what they would have had to pay Greg Newsome in an extension.
So I think that tracks for today. One more trade of a veteran, though, and no matter if you get a comparable player back or whatever the savings is or the pick is, like, I'm content today to being like, okay, you're doing a little bit of both. I buy that explanation today. I don't think there are too many more trades like that out there. I think the next trade's going to be the one that you go, oh, it's pretty apparent they don't think they can win anymore.
Yeah, and I don't look at it like two comparable players, but that's neither here nor there. It's more the idea that, yes, are they trying to do a balancing act? Sure, but it is going to, the scales are going to get tipped. And they feel like they're starting to get tipped in the long-term view of this instead of that short-term that Mary Kay is discussing. And like, if I'm the Browns, I get why I do. And at 1-4, with Dylan Gabriel already at the quarterback spot, and you're not showing much life to begin with anyway, it's all right to face your reality, but it's also all right to not make people happy about it either.
So it's weird. Like, I don't think these moves are the reason why. Like, I don't think it's tanking. I do think it's focusing more on the future than it is right now.
Would they make this move if they were 4-1 instead of 1-4?
No, of course they would.
Of course they would.
No, they would.
Exactly.
If they were 3-2, like, you can go down. Like, I don't know if they make it if they're 2-3, and it's the Bengals game is the one that would be the difference between being 3-2 and 2-3.
And Flacco looks like he's dealing, yes. And you still have a semblance of showing a pulse. Yes, I agree with you.
But I think, when Mary Kay says the Browns are in between short and long-term goals, understood. But I still think they're focusing on long-term goals more than short-term.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 50-50. I think it's more, we're probably at 65-35, and I think one more loss and you're probably going to be closer to 80-20.
And as we found out over the past few days this week, turns out if just anybody calls you up, then all of a sudden it seems like a player can be on the table. A player can be bought.
I think that's where, like, what did... You're covering your tracks a little bit with these two moves. I don't know what they're going to consider like, oh, we're really out of it. You know what I mean? Like, is it 1-5? Because if 1-5, oh, well, you're going to be very much behind the eight ball in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the most winnable stretch of the season coming up over the next 4 weeks.
It really does. So it sounds stupid because I think on Tuesday I could say it with sincerity of like, yes, you have, and I've said it a million times now, but you have six teams with one win in the AFC. You're one of them, and you play those five other teams the rest of the way. They're all on the schedule. It's all right there for you. But if I say it today, it feels like it's going to be met with a shoulder shrug of like, okay, yeah, you're going to play easier teams, but by the time you play all these teams, you're going to have X amount of players not on this roster anymore, and what's really the point?
I also think you're making it harder to win now. Not that Flacco was contributing to winning. I think it's the message it sends to the locker room. Same thing with the Greg Newsome thing. Like, mm-hmm. In the end, like a year from now, maybe we look up and go, wow, Tyson Campbell fits what you want to do better than Greg did, and you saved a lot of money short-term and long-term. We might say that in a year's
time.
We'll
have like fun nicknames for him. We'll be like, oh, the soup can is back out again today.
Soup can?
Yeah, that's what I came up with. Campbell, right. Soup can.
No, I'll take it.
Yeah, we're getting there. Again, listen, by a year from now, we're going to have all sorts of better names for it.
Yeah, it could be like, nope, I wasn't going to try it. I'm not even going
to
do it.
I wanted to hear you try it.
I think the soup can's a good place
to
start.
I wanted to hear you try it.
Because I didn't want to sound like I was trying to one-up you. But what I'll say is, so long-term, this could end up being the move to go, wow, it's really smart and led to X, Y, and Z. You can't tell me it gives you a better chance to win this weekend.
No way.
And you can't tell me that if Dylan gets hit in this game and has to come out, you can't tell going to Bailey Zappi gives you a better chance to stay competitive in that game than Joe Flacco, no matter what Joe Flacco we just saw.
Will this entice the Steelers to actually use Aaron Rodgers' arm instead of what they've been doing so far this year?
Or does it make Mike Tomlin turtle more?
Could you imagine throwing for the 3.3 yards average depth of target like he did against Minnesota when you're going against a Browns cornerback room that is Denzel Ward and then a lot of guys?
Only throws before the line of scrimmage.
Basically what they're trying to accomplish.
Can you have you can have a negative A dot, right?
No, I don't think we've ever seen a negative A dot.
Just everyone is half a yard behind the line of scrimmage. Let's see. Daniel on Twitter saying, it's starting to look a little fire sale-ish, but with the state of the AFC North at the moment, I can't punt on the season as a fan. I still think the Browns have a shot after getting through the toughest part of their schedule, NFL toughest six-game stretch. I think that's what makes the trades befuddling.
Well, no, that's what makes this season befuddling, if I'm being honest about it. The AFC North comment right there, because the Ravens are off to a 1-4 start. Maybe they still get to 9 or 10 wins. Maybe. Steelers aren't guaranteed 9 or 10 wins. I think we both believe that they'll probably get to 8, 9, or 10, but nothing's guaranteed there. Like, the AFC North that was perceived to be this juggernaut as recently as just a couple years ago, it's really come down.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I think if the Browns are erring on the side of, we didn't expect to be good, we've really just not been good, and so we're going to pull the plug on it quicker than anyone would expect. I understand that that's a smart decision. I just think good luck selling it to the locker room, because I think it puts Kevin behind they were trying to win when they were losing with Deshaun, and the organization put Kevin behind the eight ball, or Kevin put himself behind the eight ball by continuing to throw Deshaun out there until he popped his Achilles. I think this is an even tougher situation to manage, because you're trading players, you're playing a rookie who's not throwing, you know, past the first down sticks ever. Like, that's a lot. This is really hard to win from here, even as the schedule lightens up.
Yeah, and it does lighten up, but I don't know how often the players are going to do like the autopsy of the season or whatever. But if you look back and you see that the AFC North could be won with 8 wins and you are 1-4, which is not great, you have the schedule that we've looked at coming up, and they did just continue to trade players, you'd probably be pretty peeved about it.
What if it's possible but that the Browns aren't looking at the teams ahead of them and thinking, oh, if we'd only done X, Y, or Z, we could be in this AFC North? What if they're looking at the teams around them for the number one pick? Because I'm not like the people who look at the Jacksonville pick and
because of the amount of one win teams we currently have.
Yes,
and these 6-1 win teams I brought up in the AFC. I think there's two in the NFC side.
So
I think there's two in the NFC side of things. Yeah,
I could see them looking at this and go, listen, we're bad, but we might be good enough to win a couple games we don't need to. I do think that's on play for this organization.
You got to ensure that you get the better. So right now they are the number 2 pick overall, because the Jets are 0-5. But then you go to strength of schedule, and so as of right now they're number 2. But you know, a 2-3 team right now in Cincinnati is number 9.
You also play
razor thin.
You also play a lot of teams that you're going to be competing against for the number 1 pick, including the Titans. And
October 9th, I'm already on Tankathon.
It is just awful to do this to fans. It's awful to do this to the locker room, which bought into your plan and made sure that fans believe that they bought into the plan. It's just awful to do it, but I understand if part of this is, hey, maybe we're not as bad as we thought, and that's actually a bad thing. Let's pull the plug and let's just decrease our odds of winning just a little bit. Not tanking yet, although that can be had very quickly. Mm-hmm. Not tanking yet, but let's just put a little more distance between ourselves and the next win.
Get some more of those competitive losses that you love so much.
I don't know. I mean, the Lions game wasn't competitive. The Ravens game wasn't competitive. This game better be competitive.
It should be. The Steelers, just that's all they play with these games.
Let me ask you, when you play the Dolphins, when you play the Jets, if they're competitive losses.
That's not great.
We're going to be able to do the, hey, but the number one pick, right?
Not this early.
It's so early. That's the whole point of the trade, too.
We don't even have a clear-cut, I want this quarterback at number one overall. It is different. If Arch Manning was great right now, and it seemed like he was coming out, and there was a real reason the march to Arch was alive, and you had all these other quarterbacks that you're just even jockeying, they're fighting to try to be number one, that's different. We don't even have that right now.
I can empathize. I'm not saying they are. If the Browns look at this and go, all right, we're maybe a little bit better than we think, and we can't fall out of the race for the number one pick. And that's part of some of the long-term thinking that they're doing here and saving money. At the same point, it absolutely feels way too early to pull the plug on winning.
Wouldn't it be
just
so
as a
Browns,
fan,
though?
6 weeks in, not even 6 weeks in. Oh, my God.
Wouldn't it be so Browns, though, to end up in a situation where you have the number two overall pick in the draft, and then let's say they have the number two or number one overall pick next year in, like, the two drafts that are the only two in NFL history to go back to back without producing an actual quarterback?
I mean, it would. Okay,
that's tough.
You know what people are going to say, right?
That's tough.
You know what people are going to say, right?
What are they going to say?
Karma for the Deshaun thing.
Karma?
Not just the Deshaun thing. Karma for the Baker thing. Karma for if you think Kevin Stefanski's a patsy and not behind this, like, I could see people. I could see Browns fans saying that for this organization, even as they curse the thing too.
That's tough. I don't love any of this conversation, if I'm being honest.
I don't love it either.
It's our reality, though, and yes. So we have to live in it. We have to marinate in it. But I don't love it. It absolutely stinks.
Are you counting the Browns out of a comeback from the 1-4 start, or do you still think there's a chance?
Yeah, there's no comeback happening. I don't know why I would think a comeback would be happening. I'm curious to find out. I guess the comeback happens with weaker teams, and then Dylan Gabriel's got to take off. Nick, do you see it any other way? That's the only way you really have a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan or Shador taking off, and that defense continuing to play really good football, maybe even getting better. Because I can't really, like, I think the best the offense is going to be able to do is high functioning, meaning, like, you're functional plus. Not you're good. Now you're really good, but like Quinshon is just good enough to carry you to like 21, 22 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the defense is just, that defensive line is dominant enough to keep the other team within 20 points, 21 points, 22 points for the rest of the season.
If I were to tell you before the season got underway, though, your cornerback room would be Denzel Ward and it would have no Greg Newsome, no MJ Emerson. You'd be shaking in your boots, though.
Would you mention the name Dom Jones? Because, I mean, that's...
Miles Harden is who I would mention, okay?
Yeah.
A lot of the time, Miles Harden is going to be on other team's number one.
I've heard people think of him as the Myles Garrett of the nickel spot.
That's right.
Because they have the same name.
Yeah, I've heard that nowhere, but yes, also everywhere.
Many people are saying it. 216-474-0092.
Damn, super chat.
Are you counting the Browns out of a comeback from their 1-4 start? I'm not entirely counting them out. I would give it about a 10% chance.
You're asking counting them out as if, like, are we counting them out of... What is your 1 in 10% chance of what? Not the postseason?
No. I'm talking about of getting to where I have to pay three different people burger bets. So eight wins.
With this AFC North, that's close.
7 wins from here would be an incredible accomplishment. Yeah?
Oh, for sure it would be. But also...
That's 6-6 over the final 12 games.
As we discussed, 8 wins is close right now for the AFC North.
Oof. Sorry. As soon as you said it, I was just like, I don't know about it. No, I actually think the Steelers are going to win 11 games or more. I'm sticking to that. It's the other teams that think the Steelers are going to win games. I know, I hate to say it, but it's real. Are you counting the Browns out of a comeback from their 1-4 start and a bold, bold defense of Kevin Stefanski in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan?
Friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show
your way and on your time.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick and JP with you. A little bit of NBA news to pass along here. Fresh off the Decision 2.0, LeBron James putting out Shams Charania putting out that LeBron James is sidelined for 3 to 4 weeks due to sciatica on his right side. He is out for the start of the 2025-2026 NBA season.
Just wants to sit back and drink some Hennessy is all I hear.
I mean, listen, I want to say a decent treatment for sciatica could be some sort of signature cocktail.
Sciatica is one of the ones that falls in there where, like, a lot of times when you have like a back injury with a player, everyone like chimes in because everyone is like, back injuries, they're serious, they stink. Sciatica is one of the ones that a lot of people listening have also had. I've had myself. And so you're just like, oh man, I don't even know how you begin to play on such a thing.
Shouldn't we say that for all injuries though?
Well, like, I think a lot of people listening have never torn an ACL, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. So when like a player tears an ACL, we don't get too many calls of people being like, gee, I know that stinks. Like Darius Garland stubbing his toe. It's like everyone's like, oh yeah, we've all stubbed our toe. And then everyone's got like input on stubbing their toe and what that means, even though they have no relation to the seriousness of Darius Garland and what happened with
it was a toe injury. It wasn't just a stubbed toe.
Yes, but everyone is going to that. And that's the thing with sciatica, with LeBron, it's like everyone goes to that because I don't know what. 25% of people listening right now have dealt with some form of sciatica at some point.
Well, but like, you know, like a guy will sprain his ankle and they'll be like, you got that. They pay you to play through that. I'm like, one of us sprains our ankle. We got crutches. We're like, we get like pampered at any other job, like an office job. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't ask Garrett to take care of that because he's got a sprained ankle. He can't. You know, let's just keep him at his desk.
It's like, can we help him get to spot A to spot B? But HR pulls you aside. Can you really help out Garrett right now?
Can you carry his stuff to his car for him every day?
Just it'd be really nice.
For a football player, a baseball player, we're like, why isn't this dummy playing like one day after? But why isn't this dummy playing? No.
I don't know. I was more empathetic. I was like, sciatica stinks.
No. I'm in total agreement.
The moment I get just a hint of sciatica, it's immediate ice pack on the back, and I have to do that for like 3-4 days to make sure it kind of goes away.
I mean, we have such a double standard for athletes as opposed to ourselves. For instance, Josh Naylor and the paternity leave, where people are like, it's a playoffs. You can't go on paternity leaves. It's like, yes, you can.
I was impressed he was back for yesterday's game.
Had a pretty good game until the Tigers came alive.
Did you see some of the controversy around him, though, in that game? Apparently, he was doing the sign stealing from second base, but was making it very, very obvious what he was doing. So, like, historically, and it's not against baseball rules. You can sign steal from second base. There's nothing in the rule book that says you can't. But he was, instead of doing like a quick, shifty move to try to be discreet about it, he was flailing his arms to try to tell the hitters what exactly was going on and was making it so obvious what he was doing. He just did not care.
Or he's just really good at communicating. Like, if for people in the super chat watching us on YouTube right now,
it was effective, right?
You guys see a lot of nonverbal communication on the show. When somebody says, that's a great question, to one of my questions, I let everyone know that I agree. I throw out my hands like a king.
You got faked out earlier today by Lindsay.
No, she said that's a tough question, which you were celebrating
as she said that's and then she didn't go for great question, and I didn't know if you were going to maintain the victory.
That's still a victory. Because
take whatever way you want to.
That's a great question. That's a tough question. They're family members, right? It's the same idea, same DNA, right?
Take it whatever way you want to.
They're siblings.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. I'm happy.
Clones,
I'm happy for you.
But they're siblings. I'm fascinated with where the next year and a half goes with LeBron. I think there's a chance that this is the last year, and I think he continues his career in the Live NBA tour that we talked about with Joe Varden earlier today.
So the Live NBA tour, I think, is a very interesting concept, and I'm not even... would you get mad at LeBron if he ended up playing for Live, whatever they want to call it, Live Basketball a year from now?
Yeah.
I think, well, because of the Saudi component, I think a lot of people would instinctively do it. And I think that's why it might not be in his best interest. But if they're saying $500 million, LeBron, to come start up this Live Basketball, you could be the Greg Norman of the, you know, how Greg Norman was in charge of Live Golf. He wasn't even playing. He was just in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. But you can be in charge of it, and while playing, this will be your baby. We're going to give you $500,000. You made $1 million so far in your NBA career with everything all in, endorsements otherwise. We're going to give you $500,000.
You mean billion?
No, you made $1 billion. Sorry, half of a billion. I'm sorry. You're right. Sorry. He made half of a billion.
LeBron gave you $500,000.
Like, not that much.
To come whitewash Saudi history for us.
Honestly, when you find out some of the prices that the comedians were getting to go to that comedy fest over there, I was like, that's not nearly enough to go ahead and now say that you're in bed with the Saudis. But so the point is, if it's, let's call it $500 million, and then the idea there is once LeBron makes it and accepts that, it legitimizes the entire operation. Yep. Other people will follow. It's a lot of money for LeBron.
It is. And by the way, they could just buy him an NBA team. Like, theoretically,
if you're in bed with the Saudis, though, then I doubt then the NBA gives you as if that gold watch
end
of career thing. I would imagine the NBA would be like, we're not doing that.
Well, but my thing is, like, Tiger, I think the reporter,
they offered
$1 billion.
Yes, it was just shy of it. I thought it was $900 million or something.
I would imagine LeBron, no disrespect to Tiger, but Tiger for his sport, just to be involved, LeBron to play and maybe run the league, I would imagine you're talking billions. And it's still, by the way, I still wouldn't be okay with it.
I don't know. I'd love to know that valuation. I like that you bring Tiger into play there. Because the early parts of this, what Joe was getting at was, now that they're gonna start this with the women's version is the idea. If it ever gets off the ground, it'll be started with the women's version shortly. Only way that thing makes any amount of money is if you get Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Like, you need her.
Yep.
That's your Tiger. That's your LeBron. Like, that's your white whale. You need Caitlin Clark. If she starts the bid, I can't imagine what she'd even start it at.
I mean, you'd have to say $500 million, right?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And so, like, if she goes, then, again, the whole thing could just start to snowball from there and actually turn into something, which is just wild to think about. But I wouldn't want this to turn
Wilson
into...
Asia Wilson would be the other name, by the way.
I'm not going to try to sound disrespectful. I know she's won, like, 3 or 4 straight league MVPs and is awesome in her own right. I'm not trying to take away from her in that.
Nobody moves the needle like Caitlin.
Nobody
That's
moves
fair.
The needle like Caitlin. That's it.
But no, I mean, I think average folks like you and me who are not making billions of dollars a year, millions of dollars a year, we assume that there's got to be a price. And I would just say for LeBron, the price will not be whatever you are offered. The price will be your legacy. And LeBron has made such a concerted effort to be political, to act virtuous on many fronts. If you then turn around and do that, then everything else you did was completely bunk. And I think it would be fair to say that all that other stuff was an act. You cannot do all the stuff he's done trying to represent as many causes as
your
can.
Your moral high ground gets taken away.
And then go and take Saudi money to put live NBA. You can't.
I think that's why a lot of people are upset with the comedy situation. You know, they watched a lot of comedians that they like that talk about those political stances, that talk about taking the moral high ground, and then they went and did that comedy fest. And I think LeBron would fall in that same bucket for a lot of people in that way.
216-474-0092. What's more likely, LeBron plays 3 more years in the NBA, or LeBron plays this year and then maybe starts that live NBA tour? And we'll finally get to the best defense of Kevin Stefanski yet in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.